It's an election year, something that may have escaped your notice. November is a ways off. But on Capitol Hill and political quarters across the country, preparations and fundraising are in high gear. President Bush is not on the ballot, but his party in Congress is. Republicans hold a 55-seat majority in the Senate. Democrats want to change that. In the House, Democrats face a bigger challenge to gain control. They'll have to gain a net 15 seats. We brought in two election experts for a preview. Jennifer Duffy is managing editor of the Cook Political Report. She follows the Senate. Amy Walter follows the House for that same publication, where she's senior editor.
Midterm elections, traditionally, they're referendum elections on the party in power. That's why usually the White House loses seats in a midterm election. People can take their frustrations out, not on the president, but on the president's party. And all of the environmental factors out there, the president's approval rating, the congressional approval ratings, which now that we are in the midst of talk about congressional scandal, have slipped even further. But for the last year, they've been mired in the 30s. So we're looking at bad numbers there. And the overall right direction, wrong track, we ask voters, you think we're headed in the right direction? You think we're headed off on the wrong track? It points to what should be a change election, which is a traditional midterm happening.
And let's talk about the ongoing lobbying scandal, the Abramoff scandal. How does that affect the Republican Party, Jennifer?
The Senate has been a bit more removed from the Abramoff scandal than the House. You're seeing a lot of members who'd gotten Abramoff or Abramoff-related money give it back. You've certainly seen almost everyone condemn his actions, but it doesn't have the same visceral effect it's having in the House and to specific members in the House.
Amy, Democrats have been trying to capitalize on this, but when they talk about the culture of corruption, could that have a boomerang effect? If voters, look at the Capitol Hill and think, well, everybody skirts the line.
The whole process is a problem. And I think you have a very good point there. You look at any polls that have been taken since the Abramoff scandal broke, and again, overwhelming majority of voters saying, I don't think this is a Republican problem or a Democratic problem specifically. I think this is a problem that affects both parties pretty equally. Now, because Republicans control the White House, the House, the Senate, they are uniquely exposed on this issue. Again, if you're looking to throw the bums out, you're looking for change, the whole process is screwed up. Well, if you're the incumbent party, you're going to bear the brunt of that. So certainly I think Republicans are much more exposed. But at the same time, I think an intensive focus simply on this issue could, maybe if it's not boomerang back on Democrats, as much as it looks like they're so focused on one issue that they're not talking about the things that Americans care about, health care, jobs, the economy, those sorts of things that they're so singularly focused on attacking Republicans and on being partisan that they're missing the bigger picture. And I think that's the problem that they could run into.
Jennifer, what about the issue of the war in Iraq? Dissatisfaction over the war has pulled down the president's ratings. Does that pull down the GOP as well?
The war has been something of a weight on Republicans, but a very interesting thing happened in December when Congressman Murtha came out and said that, end it now, bring the troops home. He actually changed the debate in a way that ended up being more favorable for Republicans. He changed it from questions of how'd we get there? What about this faulty intelligence? Where are the weapons of mass destruction? To questions about, okay, how do we get out? And the problem is that Democrats are not united on the answer to that question. It really played into the president's hands. It played to his strengths. That has helped Republicans to a degree. One place I see the war really impacting a candidate is in Connecticut. It's Senator Lieberman, who has been a supporter of the war, and he has really gotten some Democratic activists in the state quite angry, and he will probably get a challenge to his left, from his left, in a primary.
Now, Amy, on the flip side of this, the security issue, does that trump dissatisfaction over the war and neutralize an issue that Democrats had hoped to use to their advantage?
I think what we've seen in the last two elections certainly was the Republicans' ability to talk about terrorism, their ability to really focus on the strength that voters see that Republicans have on those issues in campaigns. The question now is whether that's what voters are really going to be looking for in this next election. This is very different from the 2002 election, which which also was one very, very focused on terrorism and protecting the country and projecting strength. Back in 2002, the president was sitting on 60-plus approval rating. Though we were in the immediate wake of September 11th. We are now in 2006. There are a whole lot of other issues that are up front and crowding that debate off. And I think that becomes a question, too.
In those sweep years, in 2002 and 1994, you often have a very clear, very strong, very potent message. Have Democrats found that going into 2006?
This is Amy. And I would say the answer to that is no, and even Democrats would admit, no, there's not that sweeping message. The question is whether they need it right now. And that's really debate that we're seeing brewing within the Democratic ranks. There are many Democratic strategists who say, look, remember this. Republicans got a lot of credit for the contract with America in 1994, but they didn't roll that out until right before the 1994 election. The focus of 1994 was changed. There was an anti-corruption message. There was a message that one party had been in power in too long and the other party was going to come in and reform that.
Are there sleeper issues that could bubble to the surface as we move closer to November? Anger over Medicare Plan B, high gas prices?
All of that. There is an absolute correlation between the president's approval rating and gas prices. The higher gas prices are, the lower his approval rating goes. I think that in some states, things like stem cell research is a sleeper issue. The Medicare thing, I see pockets of unhappy consumers, but I don't see something as widespread as the catastrophic insurance plan was in the early 90s that was so unpopular they had to repeal it almost immediately. I don't see that kind of voter anger out there. But I think in every state there is always an issue unique to that state that plays into an election.
Jennifer Duffy, managing editor, Amy Walter, senior editor, both with the Cook Political Report. Thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.